The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning, friends. Happy New Year to you. The very first Sunday of the year. My name is Dusty White, and I'm the care and counseling pastor here at Coram Deo. And it is my privilege to be with you here on this first Sunday of a new year. And for the next 5 weeks, we're going to preach a sermon series called Good News for the Weary. I think the past 9 months have created a certain kind of weariness in all of us, hasn't it? Personally, I'm coming off my own bout with COVID not too long ago, and as you can see from the way that I hobbled up here, I had some surgery on my foot. Those are all things that have led to a certain type of physical weariness for me over the last few weeks. But more than physical weariness, I wonder if some of us are suffering from a kind of spiritual weariness. We're maybe not at the top of our game, spiritually speaking, you could say. Maybe the stresses and the strains of the past year have surfaced some weakness in you or some weariness in your own soul. And so over the next few weeks, we want to speak to that. We want to talk about how God's grace meets us in our weariness. And I get to kick off this series this Sunday and give you the good news for today. The good news is this. There's good news for the weary because we have one another. Certainly, 2020 gave us many things that we'd rather just forget. But it also gave me something that I cherished and am grateful for, and that is in April of 2020, that marked 10 years of ministry here at Coram Deo Church for me and my family, which was a lot of fun. And so, So there were moments throughout 2020 that I tried to be really intentional to just try to celebrate that amidst how crazy of a year it was. And I've tried to take the time over to do that. And one of the evidences of grace to me in my life is the pastors and leaders that God and his grace has surrounded me with. I have certain things to offer this church. I have certain things to offer the kingdom of God. But so do they, right? And as much as possible, we try to celebrate on our pastoral team the unique designs of each person, each leader, and lean into our strengths as a team. And it's a lot of fun. And you could say it this way. I spent some time throughout 2020 reflecting on the joy it is for me to have others around me and to be able to do life together, to be able to do ministry as a team. My gifts and strengths are used for God's glory, and I get to celebrate those strengths for myself, but I also get to celebrate the strengths that others have. And that's important. So here's the big idea. Nothing fancy for us here on the first Sunday of the year. There's good news for the weary because we have one another. I have a really simple goal for us today, and that is, as a church, that we would celebrate one another. I want us to walk out of here thankful that we have one another and realizing that one of the ways that God sustains us in the weariness of life is to give us other people. So if you have a Bible, open it up to Romans chapter 12. That's where we're going to be this morning. Let me read these first few verses for us again. Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And then later on in verse 6, Paul says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Friends, the grace of God has been given to you. This is all throughout Romans. We see how the grace of God has been given to us. The grace of salvation to sinners, that's Romans 3. The grace of justification and freedom. God counting us not guilty in Christ, Romans 5. The grace of being united to Christ, chapter 6. The grace of living into a life dead to sin, but yet alive to God, chapter 7. The grace of the Holy Spirit taking up residence in us, chapter 8. The grace of God's sovereignty to us, chapter 9. The grace of God's salvation expanding out to the least of us, chapter 10. And the grace of God grafting us into his family and his inheritance, chapter 11. And then notice what all this grace from God is supposed to give us: sobriety. Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. Sober judgment. I love that phrase. Sober judgment. Paul is saying to us, hey, church, let's come to our senses about yourself. He's urging everyone to get level-headed, to be sensible, and to not overestimate themselves. And we think of sobriety as not being intoxicated, right? So we can just apply that very same logic here. We can sober up. Well, how do we do that? Well, for me, it takes other people around me. It takes community. I'm becoming more and more self-aware now at 41 and after 19 years of ministry of who I am and who I am not. But every now and then, I get some crazy ideas, y'all. And I have to have friends and people around me to be like, hey, that is not you. You should not do that. And they also challenge me to do things that I underestimate in myself, but should be tried, should take courage, that are actually there. And when someone is addicted to alcohol or drugs or pornography, they usually need other people and a support system to help them sober up, right? And likewise, we need people around us to help keep us grounded. And Paul tells us to not be prideful about ourselves, but I do think sober judgment implies more than just boastful, overreaching pride. I think what he's saying here is, in order to be a healthy Christian, I need a robust self-awareness that comes through others so that I can grow in the gospel and give grace to other people around me. Author Dan Allender says it like this: we cannot see our own face. There's no way that I would be half the disciple of Jesus that I am without Sally, Joe, Mark, Jeff, another guy named Joe, Kent, Tony, Scott, another guy named Mark, and the elders of this very church. That didn't take me very long to come up with, by the way. There's a lot more. However, I think Paul might also be suggesting here that we should not have too low an estimate of ourselves. We need sober judgment about who we are and who we aren't so that we can do our part. And that sober judgment comes through other people. It comes through one another. God has given us one another, and that is really good news to us as we enter into a new year. Now, notice two implications of the truth that God has given to us in one another. Because God's grace comes to us through others, here's what that means. It means that each of us needs to give, and each of us needs to receive. We're better at this around Christmas time. We kind of warm up to the idea of receiving, don't we? For a little bit. Look at Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. And the one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Notice how Paul has an emphasis on the body before he is emphasizing to us the individual members. This is good for us. This should halt us, because as Mike said, we live in a culture that comes to us from an individual perspective. Individualism is at the core of our society and our culture. Nobody tells us what to do. We get to decide, right? Especially in America. All of life is the spectacle of the individual. And I might suggest to you that this is why we have so much confusion in our time today. America is preoccupied with individualism, but Paul in Romans here is preoccupied with the entire body of believers. You could tell when I hobbled up here this morning that something was wrong with my foot, right? You could see that because my foot is a contributor to my body. And right now, it's healing. But once it's healed, it will assist my body. And you wouldn't have even noticed my foot had I not had some sort of hobble. Something was off, right? My foot is a part of the body, and my foot contributes to my body. Otherwise, you wouldn't even notice it. Likewise, you are a part of the body. And for the body to be healthy, you need to give. We need to give. You need to play your part. You need to offer what you have for the sake of the whole. Because my foot doesn't play a role so that it can just be a really good foot, right? It plays a role so that the body can function correctly, or you might say wholly or fully or holistically. And the scriptures here give us all sorts of things. We have teaching, serving, encouragement, leadership, generosity. Some of those things are really out here, while others are behind the scenes. And personally for me, one of my main contributions to my friendship circles, to my elders, and to this church come out really in just the form of encouraging or exhorting or counseling or comforting. I don't have all of these things. Those are some of them. This is where I spend most of my time. And it's not uncommon for other leaders or pastors in our area to reach out to me to deal with those types of things. This is because that's kind of my wheelhouse. But guess what? All of that started way before I was a pastor. Those are Christian things, not necessarily pastoral things, right? My contribution has less to do with pastoral duties and much more to do with Christian generosity and duty. Because naturally, God uses our stories and he uses our gifting where he wants. I happen to be a pastor doing those things, but all of us, according to Romans 12 here, have something to contribute, something to do. So here's the reality. If you're a Christian, God has graced you with something to contribute, and therefore, we need to give. My kids, they all received Christmas gifts this year, which is a pretty big deal at our house because, you know, there's a lot of them. So nobody went without, which was good. But not one of my kids unwrapped their gift in secret, nor did they run up and put it up under their bed or hide it in their closet. Rather, they opened those gifts with joy. They wore them if they were clothes or at least tried them on. They built them if they were Legos or they put them on display for somebody else to enjoy because that's how we experience gifts. They bless us and they bless other people. This means that if God has given me the gift of leadership and I don't lead, then there's no way for me to experience that gift and nobody else to experience that gift apart from somebody leading, right? Friends, hear me on this. This is how individualism affects our thinking about spiritual gifts. It tempts us to think that spiritual gifts are things that we have. Just like I have maybe some food in my fridge or a random tool in my garage. But notice the emphasis of the text. Spiritual gifts are things that we use. You don't keep them in the garage just in case you need a two-prong bearing pulley like my son needed yesterday, so you pull that out. They're not like a jigsaw that just you need every now and then. Verse 6 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. We use these things that God gives us. So gifts have to be unwrapped. We rip that thing open. Don't fold the tissue paper, okay? You don't need to keep that for next year. Rip that thing open and let's go, right? Let's use these gifts. Let's enjoy them. Throughout the last 9 months during this pandemic, some of you who know that the church has needed help have stepped up and have continued to serve and help. Maybe you, a long time ago, helped build a stage in the parking lot. That seems like a long time ago, but it was only about 8 months ago. Or maybe you have stepped up slowly when we've reopened Corndale Kids and you've raised your hand and said, hey, I'll jump in. We're grateful for that. Or maybe you're actually a little bit more behind the scenes on the financial team and you've kept tabs on the finances of the church throughout the pandemic. And maybe you've given financial counsel as a part of that team to other people in the church. And this church, as we head into 2021, will be enhanced as we all give the grace that God has given to us for the good of the people. Now, there's a chance that you're hearing all of this and you're like, I don't even know what I'm good at, man. Maybe you don't know where God has specifically graced you. If that's the case, I just want to invite you to ask a few of the people closest to you. They will tell you. Since we can't always see our own face, sometimes we need others to tell us what we also look like and therefore what we're good at or should be doing more of. So we need to give. I bet that point for some of you is pretty easy to embrace, actually. It's the beginning of a new year. You're a doer. You've set the goals, and serving is one of those. You're going to step that game up, and you're happy to give of it. You actually really enjoy the idea of giving. You're a contributor, and it's totally fine. It comes natural to you, but don't miss this. We need to receive as well. We need to receive. Not only are you called to give, you're also called to receive. It sounds so simple, right? Family, nobody has it all together. Every person in this room has needs that they cannot meet on their own to be the full-on disciple, robust gospel person that God intends. You're going to need to receive. When was the last time that you just simply received something? Henry Nouwen tells us how averse we are to receiving. Henry Nouwen resigned from his position at Harvard, and he moved to live with the mentally handicapped people. And this is what he says in his book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, at the very beginning of it. He says, moving from teaching university students to living with the mentally handicapped people was, for me at least, a step toward the Father. It is the place of light, truth, and love. It is the place where I so much want to be, but am so fearful of being. It is the place where I will receive all I desire, all that I ever hoped for, all that I ever need. But it is also the place where I have to let go of all I most want to hold on to. It is the place that confronts me with the fact that truly accepting love, forgiveness, healing is often much harder than giving it. Perhaps you can relate to that. It's the place beyond earning, deserving, and rewarding. It is the place of surrender. I really did not have an inkling of how difficult the journey would be. I did not realize how deeply rooted my resistance was and how agonizing it would be to come to my senses. Being the contributor, being the giver, always puts us in the position of service, right? But it also kind of gives us the upper hand. Being the receiver, on the other hand, well, that feels a little undeserving. We feel a little needy in those moments. The truth is, family, the posture of humility and neediness is not the natural horizon that we set ourselves upon. We've been quarantined a handful of times, my family and I, over the last few months. I had this foot surgery. And over the last few weeks, at least, I have been dependent on people for really simple things. Things like getting groceries. Things like, I can't really walk down the stairs right now, so can you go grab this? Super simple everyday things. And I've been on the receiving end. Just yesterday, my son needed to do some stuff to his truck, and I wasn't very much help. And so our neighbor jumped in, and then a guy I didn't even know jumped in with my neighbor, and you know what I did? I sat there on a chair with a cane. That is not contributing, okay? I tried to avoid being a grumpy old man. Just a few weeks back, I sat socially distanced with one of our gospel communities here in the church. It was amazing. I listened to story after story about how God had used nearly everyone in that gospel community to shape almost everyone else. Stories of one guy's conversion to Christ, which led into his baptism. Another guy's story about somebody else taking care of their dog simply because somebody seemed kind of down. And so they said, hey, we're going out of town. You should watch our dog because we need our dog watched. And you should probably watch our dog because you seem kind of down. Just simple stuff like that. A community banding together. One guy was needing some dating advice. Now that guy's engaged. And he said that night, man, I really needed the people in this gospel community to guide me through that time. That's a compelling community. And so we actually ended up that night by praying for a group of leaders that are multiplying out of that gospel community so that other people can get in on that. That means that even in 2020, y'all, God is good and he was on the move and we were able to multiply really cool, compelling communities so that other people can experience the gift of giving and receiving. So let me ask you these two questions. As we put 2020 behind us, as we move towards 2021, where do you need to receive? First of all, where do you need to give? Where do you need to give and where do you need to receive? Maybe due to the pandemic, you actually got a little too used to the quarantined life. Maybe for you, giving is actually just re-engaging with real people in real spaces in real time. Giving of your presence, giving of yourself. The quarantined life is not life to the fullest. I've done it. Some of you have done it. God did not build us to be quarantined. That is not the ideal. And so maybe for some of us, it's just simply re-engaging with real people in real spaces when the time is appropriate, obviously. Maybe in 2021, it's time for you to start serving the next generation in Coramdale Kids, just one Sunday, one service, once a month, moving outside of yourself a little bit to help some children. Maybe in 2021, it's time to start serving behind the scenes. You've benefited from technology, and now it's time with the sound and the streaming and the output of ministry to contribute on those ways. Or maybe actually just in your relationships, in your friendships, Maybe it's time for you to just take somebody a meal, to grab somebody's groceries when they're quarantined, to pray for somebody, to contribute in some really small, simple way. So where do you need to give? Next, where do you need to receive? People are offering, so say yes. And if nobody is offering, call somebody and say, man, I need some help. I've realized that for sure over the last few weeks. I want to encourage you to work on your yes reflex in 2021. Just say yes. Put yourself on the receiving end. It's such a beautiful idea, right? Romans 12, the fact that each of us needs to both give and receive. Friends, the good news for the weary is that we have one another. So what would keep us from embracing that as we turn toward the new year? Well, author and pastor Zech Eswine reminds us that each of us is tempted to be like God. He says this, we're tempted towards something like omnipresence. We think that we can actually be at all the places all of the time, so we overcommit like we have no limits of space and time. Or we're also tempted to something like omnipotence. We think that we're superheroes, and so with unlimited power, we try to fix things, control things, and overcome whatever obstacle faces us, all on our own, by the way, because after all, we're pretty strong and we're good individuals. We're also tempted to something like omniscience. We want to know everything that God knows. So we try to consume as much information as we possibly can, really just to end up being know-it-alls. So how do you see those temptations in your own life? Friends, are you tired of the weariness that comes from trying to be like God? You're not God. You can't be everywhere. You can't do everything. And you don't need to know everything, actually. You're actually omni-nothing. But God is omni-everything. But you actually still have something to give. And you should give that. But you also have things to receive. And you should receive them. Because the good news for the weary is that we have one another. So, what if we entered into 2021 letting that sink in, that we actually need each other? One of the things that I noticed during 2020 was that it tried to convince us more than ever that we could download or stream anything in life. Friends, you cannot download one anothering. It's impossible. We need one another. And in fact, the way God gives us his grace is through one another. So that means the more that we get out of one another, the more that we get of God. And in turn, the more we get of God, the healthier the body becomes, the healthier the church becomes. That's what this chapter is all about. You do remember that at just the right time, God contributed exactly what we needed in the gospel of Jesus, and you were on the receiving end of that, probably. And if not, if that is not describing you, we want you to be on the receiving end of the good news of Jesus Christ today. The gospel got us into this, so let's not enter into 2021 with this do-it-yourselfer spiritual mentality. Instead, let's enter into this next year of ministry to one another with a posture of giving and receiving. Would you join me as I pray to this end for all of us? And I want to encourage you, if you're comfortable, to just actually open your hands. One of the things that I do in my personal time of prayer with the Lord is to open my hands and do this with my body. You don't have to do it, but I want to encourage you to do it as I pray. Just this posture of giving back to God what he has already deposited to you and receiving from God what he wants to give to you as we enter a new year. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this new year, we realize it's all by your grace. And God, as we do so, we expect you to move towards us by contributing towards us. We expect other people to move towards us and contribute towards us. We expect you to challenge our self-sufficiency. Father, we realize this morning, we confess to you that we cannot glorify you by trying to be you. And as we live in this culture, enamored with the spectacle of the individual, we pray that you would put each of us to work in the mundane, ordinary places of life and church so that we could contribute to the body and the whole. We're ordinary people, but because of Jesus, we have extraordinary grace. And we pray that you would meet us in our weariness. We pray that you would meet us in our small victories. Would you minister your giving and your receiving grace to each one of us today as we are here? And now, even as we come to the table, in your name, amen.